This is the Frank Fontana Show on WGN Radio. It's not just home improvement, it's life improvement.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to my show. Good to be here. Good to be listened to. I hope you all had a fantastic Thanksgiving. That was the last time we spoke, was right before it. Lots of fun stories of what your family does and what you can and can't tolerate when the family's around. I'd love to hear some of the stories that ensued through the Thanksgiving holiday. 312-981-7200. Fill us in if anything fun happened. Speaking of which, we have a really fun show today. Jam-packed with amazing guests. Some reoccurring, some new ones. Later on the show, Joey Farina is going to be joining us. You might know his name is the executive superstar chef over at Victory Tap. He'll be joining us for our food time segment. We're kind of got a different time slot today. We're usually 1 to 3 on Sundays, but since Dean's out, we're filling in a 12 o'clock hour. So we'll continue with Dean's food time segment. That'll be later on in the show around 12:30. Before that, Love McPherson, Tiffany Love McPherson, is going to be joining us to discuss the topic, is love lost? Just leave a little dramatic pause right there. Is love lost? Are you feeling like you just can't get it together in the love department? Our good friend Tiffany Love McPherson's here. She'll be taking your calls, answering the questions, maybe walking through a few guests, you know, that have some issues in that department. She's really good at it, too. She just has this way about her. And joining me right now is sitting next to me, our longtime astrologer to the stars here on the Frank Fontana Show, and Nordhaus Bike.
Hello.
Good to see you.
Thanks. Great to see you. I'm so happy to be back with you.
Me too. It's been too long.
It has.
What have you been up to?
Oh, my goodness. Lots of stuff. Lots of things with astrology. I just gave a talk to a business group on Wednesday about Mercury retrograde. And a lot of the listeners know I'm also an artist. So I have back-to-back art openings coming up. Very exciting this week. Friday is going to be out at the Five Seasons Family Sports Club in Burr Ridge, 6901 South Madison Street. That's 5:30 to 8:30. I'm going to be there opening reception.
My neck of the woods.
Yeah, fantastic.
I got to swing by. So when you do these events, are you mixing astrology into that, or is it just pure art for you?
Astrology is always there.
Yeah.
So the paintings actually reflect who I am, and so they're the sky, they're horizons, you know, they're looking at the stars, but there's no night scenes. It's, you know, daytime scenes like abstract watercolors.
Sure. Beautiful work. Very cool. I love colors.
Thank you.
And you are the business side of things. You know, you mentioned Mercury retrograde.
Yeah.
Let's start there. What does that mean for people, whether business or life? Because, you know, a lot of people, you know, maybe naysayers about astrology. We always talk about this, you know, but it ends up, we end up getting a gazillion phone calls, people wanting to talk to you. But for those who, you know, like our producer who's filling in now, Ariel, who's somewhat of a skeptic on the topic, explain the science behind astrology.
So particularly for Mercury retrograde, so the science behind astrology, basically for thousands of years, the first astronomers were astrologers, and that was true up until about 200 years ago. And they observed what was going on in the sky with the planets, and they could correlate that with stuff that would go on planet Earth. And they would notice that when Mercury looked like it was looking going backwards in the sky, it wasn't, but it looked like it. When that happens, stuff on the Earth slows down. Mm-hmm. Mercury is the planet associated with communication, with writing, and now in our modern age, with all things computer, tech, gadgets, cars, anything with moving parts, those things tend to either break down or show you where they need a little bit of help, or you might have like communication stuff get garbled. Very often things come in twos, so you send an email, it might go to somebody twice, or it might not go at all. It's a time when we have to slow down and be really careful about what are we thinking, and you're very big on this, Frank, I know, like power of positive thought.
Mindset.
As well as, exactly. So this is a great time, Mercury retrograde in Sagittarius, mindset having to do with where do we focus on with our beliefs? What kind of bad old beliefs are we carrying around that aren't true that we can get rid of? So Mercury is actually this great thing when it's retrograde. We can clean all that up, but people typically are very uncomfortable during a Mercury retrograde because everything slows down. Stuff doesn't work quite right. You can't get in touch with people, but it's a great time to call people from your past.
Really?
Yeah.
Ugh. Drudging up the past. Who wants to do that? Well, listen, this is what we're going to do, folks. We're going to get right into it when we come back. 312-981-7200. If you want to get your free live astrology reading from Ann Nordhaus Bike, she's here. This is how it works. You call in, you tell us your sign. You tell us what's going on in your life quickly, and we're going to get through as many calls as we can in the next segment. But I do advise you hop on the calls now, 312-981-7200. Give us your sign. Tell us what's going on in your life, and Anne will do her best to match that up with what's going on in the big universal picture of things.
Quick and capsule.
Quick and capsule. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Corn, what are we feeling on Capricorns right now?
Yeah, you know.
Quickly, because we have a bunch of callers.
Yeah, they've had a lot of powerful energy. They got Pluto in their sign, along with Saturn, which rules them.
Yeah.
And the sun's going to go there later this month. So really just powerful energy just sitting there, really forcing them to change, transform. And with the Mercury retrograde, this is not a surprise to have a little bit of a snarl up with the communication.
Of course.
Yeah.
Let's get right to it. We have Anne, who's a Scorpio. Hey, Anne, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks.
What's going on in your life right now?
Well, I want to sell my house this next year.
Okay.
And I've had a hard time getting things moving.
I understand how that
goes. And finances are part of it. But I wonder how it looks. What should I do?
Anne, why don't you let Anne know what she could do, possibly?
Yeah, I bet last year was a really wild ride. You had Jupiter going through your sign, which just expanded everything. And now you can see what you want to do. And so... a very interesting, mm-hmm. Jupiter's now in your second house. It's your money house. You'll probably see things look better financially, I'm guessing, over this next 12 to 13 months. But as far as your house, you're going to see a whole lot of energy in your real estate and house of home area starting really soon. When the sun goes into Aquarius on January 20th, watch for that. You'll have a whole month to be very focused on your house. If you want to put it up for sale, if you're actually ready by early February, you're going to get a new moon in Aquarius on February 4th. That would be a good time. Within those, like a week or 10 days after that, would be a good time to list it for sale.
What market are you in, Anne?
I'm in Northwest Indiana.
Northwest Indiana. Okay. I think it's she's absolutely right. I mean, I'm a licensed realtor, so I can give you some. Her timing is perfect. I think it's great. And if you want to bounce anything off me, I'd be happy to. You could shoot me an email, frank@frankfontana.net, about your real estate questions. I'll be happy to help you.
Oh, great. Thank you.
You got it, Anne. Thanks for calling the show.
Best of luck to you.
Hope that was helpful. Let's talk to Cynthia. Hey, Cynthia, thanks for holding. You are a Sagittarius. What's going on in life for you right now? Cynthia, you there? Hey, Cynthia.
Are you with us?
I don't think she is.
Oh, dear.
All right, let's try Judy. Hey, Judy, you there?
Hi, it's Julie.
Oh, Julie. Hi, Julie. What's your sign?
Hi. Pisces.
A Pisces, okay.
I'm ending a long-time old relationship and moving on.
All right. Is this a marriage that you're breaking up or just a dating situation?
No, it's unfortunately a marriage.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that. Or congratulations, either one.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
All right. So you're looking to see if love is potentially going to be coming in your future again, or just how you think the universe is going to navigate the next few months for you?
Yeah, I think the next few months, see what's going on.
Well, I think what's really interesting about this is you're a Pisces and you have some interesting energy there. You have the planet Mars in your sign right now. I don't know if you knew that.
No.
Okay. So that's really, really wonderful energy for you because that is giving you basically the oomph, the steel in your spine to make the decisions you want to make. So it's not a surprise that you're taking action now. With Mercury retrograde, I don't know if there's anything you need to do in terms of like contractual stuff or actual paperwork. It'd be very wise to wait till the retrograde lifts to do any of that kind of stuff or negotiating like final terms and stuff. Are you in that stage right now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'd be really good. Wait until after the 6th. Give it at least till December 8th or a little bit later for you to sign any actual papers and commit to final stuff because everything's still up in the air. The most volatile time of a Mercury retrograde, I will tell you, Julie, is the very beginning and the very end. We're coasting into the end of it. So take your time. Make sure you get things the way you want them and then sign paperwork starting the following week, like the week of the 10th of December.
All righty. Thank you.
And good luck to you.
Julie, I'm sorry. Appreciate it. Have a good holiday season. Hope that helped you out. Let's move on to our next call because we're running out of time here. Let's talk to Jane, who's a Sagittarius. Hey, Jane.
Hi there. I've spoken to Anne in the past about my husband and a plant closing.
He's the Aquarius, right?
He is the Aquarius, yes.
Good memory.
And he did... Yes, he did find other work, which was closer to home, which is wonderful. But he has since left that job, and he's back out traveling again further away mm-hmm. with another company with some of his former coworkers. And I felt bad because he had to do the travel again. But he's enjoying it. So I'm just wondering if he's going to stay there until he's retiring.
Well, that's an interesting question because Frank and I were talking about this off air a little bit before I came on, Jane. If he's an Aquarius, his planet is this planet Uranus. And I would guess that the last 7 years since 2011 have been a little bit, a little haywire for him in terms of the travel, probably, because it's... That planet, his planet is Uranus, and it's been over in that third house of travel, local travel for him. It's going to mm-hmm. stay there for a little bit longer. It's dipping back into Aries. It's almost done. It's going to leave Aries March 6th of 2019, and then it's going to go into you guys' house of home. So you might see some interesting changes in your home. So this whole focus on him traveling around, it's going to end after March 6th. It's going to settle down a bit. And then you're going to see some interesting changes at home. Maybe you'll be moving. Maybe you'll be upgrading. Maybe you'll be downsizing.
That's the thing. I thought the home we built was going to be it. And I've actually wrapped my head around the thought that maybe we will eventually, move.
Wow. Yeah. So, there you go.
How exciting for you.
We appreciate the follow-up. Love that. And good luck to you guys in the future. I appreciate that.
Great. Thank you.
You got it.
You're welcome, Jane.
All right. And so here's what we got. We got a bunch more people on the phone that are trying to get through. We do have to take a quick break and get to some news. We do have another guest, Love McPherson, coming in. But here's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Because we got some people on text, and we could reply to text live on the show.
Yeah.
If you want to hang for a minute and give people, how can people find you outside of the show in case they want to contact you directly with their questions?
Yeah, best way to find me is astrologerann.com. It's A-N-N-E, astrologerann, all run together, .com.
And you're on Astrologer, you're on Instagram at astrologerann, right?
Yeah. And I'm on all the other Facebook,
Twitter,
the LinkedIn,
website. But I'm going to have you hang out and just respond to people over text. So anybody hanging on the phone lines, unfortunately, we do have to move to our next segment, but I'm going to have Ann hang out in studio. Text in your question to 312-981-7200, and she will be responding via text live here in the studio while we have our other business going on, and maybe you'll chime in on that. But in the meantime, we want to get to everybody.
Yeah, so sounds great.
We'll be right back. This girl's like you. Welcome back to the Frank Fontana Show here, filling in for Dean Richards. God, Billy D. Williams, I was had in my head the other day because my doctor looks just like him. I swear to God, it's fascinating. But we're waiting on Love McPherson. She's not quite here yet, but she should be here soon and still in studio responding gracefully to all of your texts as much quickly as she can because there's like literally hundreds flying in right now, and I'm reading some of these.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's so, heartbreaking to see so much pain in the world.
And there is a lot. Yeah.
Why? Like, from a star's perspective, I understand the things we could see, but from an energetic and an astrology, standpoint, what's happening?
It's been a really tough year, for starters. We had so many planets that went retrograde that typically aren't retrograde. Most of the planets go retrograde once a year. But Venus and Mars only go retrograde every other year. And we had both of them retrograde over the summer. And so people are frustrated because they can't move things forward. That's one. The other part is here in the United States, we're going through a real rite of passage in terms of ourselves as a nation.
Yeah.
The planet Pluto takes about 260 years to make its way through all the signs. And what happens is when it gets back to where it was when our country was born, it's called a return. It's a Pluto return. Well, we're in the middle of gearing up for that Pluto return. And Pluto is the take no prisoners planet,
right,
where you have to look at the dark stuff. So a lot of people are having to look at some of the darkness in their lives. It's not just the nation, it's in ourselves as individuals, and having to look at relationships and all the other things. Stuff feels like it's really up in the air, and it is, because we're being forced to evolve. It's just to help us on a soul level evolve to a higher level.
So you would equate it to we as humans not living to our fullest potential, and the universe or the energy or God or whatever it is you believe in is forcing this to happen so we get to become better humans, correct?
Yes. And if you do work...
What if you don't? Like, what scares me about that is that there's a lot of people who aren't willing to do the work, who are still plugged in the matrix, and, you know, they just are going to continue to live the life they live without looking elsewhere, or continue to blame, or continue to point fingers, or continue to look at the president as the problem, or continue when the problem is in us, right?
Yeah. Well, I do think part of this has to do with the fact that it's easy to blame, but that's not doing the work. So that's for starters. We both know that.
Yeah.
But the other piece that's involved in this as well is that this is a real opportunity. And if people don't get the little tap on the shoulder and they don't pay attention when stuff in their life starts to go haywire, then they're going to get a shove or a harder push. Stuff might just start coming into their lives. So actually, I think we can all take comfort in the fact that no matter what happens, life will take care of that evolution for us. Mm-hmm. All of us know, and you were talking and I was talking earlier before the show started about how it's just stuff comes into your life and you have to deal with it.
Sure.
You have to step up. It could be unexpected stuff. We're being tested all the time.
Do you think that there's been a shift in the ability to deal with stuff? Because you think like past generations, you know, our parents and parents beforehand, you know, had dealt with the Great Depression and the wars. And you know, I guess seemingly most people would look and say, oh, look at them. They survived and they're, you know, whole, I guess.
Yeah.
But did we not have a deeper understanding of mental health, you know, back then? Or, you know, what's your opinion on that?
I do think definitely it's a challenge when they speak of the greatest generation, because that generation took a lot of hard stuff. And some of the fallout was because we didn't have a lot of words to wrap around mental health. So we didn't know about depression, and we didn't really label alcoholism for what it was. So a lot of people medicated with prescriptions or with alcohol. It was the drug of choice for a lot of people. So it was very difficult for that generation in many ways. However, it was easier for them in some other ways because they didn't have the technology we have. They didn't have the 24/7 challenges that face all of us so long. And it's really hard, I think, to bounce back from the physical challenges we see every day in life when you feel like your mind is constantly wired and you never really get a break from it. And I think that's what makes it really tough for people right now, is it's just in the air. We almost never let ourselves take a break from it.
Sure, sure. Hey, you know what? We're getting word that love is, I think, in traffic or something. So Ann's going to hang with us for a little bit longer, if you're okay with that. And
sure.
We could probably pick up a couple more phone calls, 312-917-2200. She's doing her best to respond to you guys over text. But we'll go back to taking some calls since we have a little extra time. You know, this topic is just fascinating because just from the global perspective of what you're seeing on the news and what you're seeing in the world and what feels like a lot of hatred. And on the flip side, you got people coming together to combat that. And so there's some positive coming out of this.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to see the shift start to happen. And, you know, I think it's easier when there's not resistance from, I guess, the stars, so to speak. Right.
Yeah. I do think we're going to see things move a lot more easily starting in 2019, in the sense that we'll have no planets retrograde for pretty much all of January and February into like the first week of March, which will be really helpful, really wonderful. People can move forward and feel a little less frustrated.
Well, let's talk to Diane and let's see what's on her palette right now. Hi, Dan. How are you?
Oh, great. This is really exciting. I've listened to you for many, many, many conversations the two of you have had.
Thank you so
thanks
much
for taking my call.
It's our pleasure.
I'm a Capricorn.
Okay. What's going
on
60.
In your world? I've been divorced for 5 years and after a 27-year marriage and never have gotten back into dating. Just don't know where to go.
So it's been how long since you've been on a date?
Well, I've been divorced for 5 years, so prior to that, it was just my husband and me, but for 27, so...
And I would imagine you probably didn't go on many dates with your husband if you're divorced,
No,
right?
No.
Yeah. So it's been
I'm just
really
afraid to get
time.
My toes back into it and wondering what it looks like for my sign.
Oh, my. Change is coming. Get yourself ready to be out there. Some cool things are going to start happening. You know, we have
in her love department.
Yes, yes.
You hear that, Diane?
I do, and it's. I'm nervous.
Yes,
I can
excited,
feel your nerves.
Nervous, both.
Yeah,
through the airwaves, I can feel it.
Yeah, you're going to get a birthday coming soon, right? When's your birthday?
January 11th.
Well, from now until then, it's really a good time. Start thinking about stuff like a makeover. You know, how about some new wardrobe choices? Get yourself with a personal shopper. Get yourself really spiffed up and get yourself ready for this, really. You've got time to strategize. You're going to start a brand new year with your birthday, January 11th. Venus is not going to be retrograde anymore next year. So Venus is about love and beauty. So let's go forward with this. But the biggest news for you is, you know how we have eclipses every 6 months? The moon and the sun get eclipsed. Okay. The eclipses are moving out of the axis of Leo and Aquarius into Capricorn and Cancer. That means you're going to be shoved and pushed forward. It's time, babe, after 5 years. And it's very fun.
I'll be looking forward to it.
January 5th is the first one. It's in your sign. The next one coming up that you need to pay attention to, that's going to be in your sign of true love, you know, of marriage and, you know, partners. Watch July 2nd, 2019. And July 16th, there's going to be another one in your sign. Okay, so lots of cool stuff coming.
You.
Look at this. See, we're going to, and then I want you to call the show back and give us an update on, you know, how your love life is going in a few months.
Okay, I'll try and do that. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You got it. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Let's try to squeeze one more call in here before we have to go. I think Love McPherson is going to join us via telephone in just a few moments here. Let's talk to Karen, who's a Leo. Hey, Karen.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, my pleasure. What's going on in your life?
I'd like to talk to Ann about finances. Okay. Right now, me and my husband, we're a paycheck-to-paycheck couple.
Yeah.
Is 219 going to be any better?
I'm so sorry to hear that. I know it's been tough. Yeah, yeah. You know, you've had all the eclipses in your sign. What's your husband's sign?
Cancer.
So he's a Cancer. You know, this is really interesting because did you hear I was just talking to Diane about the eclipses are going to shift out of Leo Aquarius and into Cancer Capricorn?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so your husband being a Cancer, that's really interesting. What eclipses do is to shove us forward. They are big tools for evolution, like Frank and I were talking about earlier, about getting people to evolve and move forward. If you won't do the work, an eclipse will come along and they'll force the issue. So some interesting change could happen for your husband with these eclipses. It could be stuff related to, he might have interesting health things going on. He ought to take very good care of his health. But somebody might come into his life with this Capricorn energy. When these Capricorn eclipses come, there's going to be one on January 5th. And there's going to be one, another one in December 25th of next year. These are both 2019. But I want to look at your money houses as well. Are you working, Karen?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so both of you are working. You know.
Correct.
You've got Mercury retrograde and right now, and your second money house is Virgo. And it's ruled by Mercury. So see what happens once the Mercury retrograde ends. Also, you may be spending more than you usually do. Just keep an eye on your finances and be cautious about spending.
And if you guys have any further questions, you can reach out to Ann directly. She's awesome about this. How can people get a hold of you?
Best thing to do, go to my website, astrologerann.com.
Awesome. Thanks, Ann, so much for being here. You're going to hang out a little bit more in studio. She'll try to respond to some more of these texts.
Yep.
In the meantime, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk to Love McPherson when we come back.
And now, back to Chicago's very own Frank Fontana, Sundays from 1 to 3 on WGN Radio.
Welcome back to the show, folks. Thanks for hanging with us. We're usually here from 1 to 3 every Sunday, but we're filling in a little bit for Dean Richards, who is out in New York doing some fun celebrity interviews. Joining us via phone is our good friend Tiffany Love McPherson. Hey, Love, how are you?
I am doing well. How are you?
Good. We got a little choppy of reception. Hopefully we could have you stand on one foot and put your hand on your head.
Well, let me see if I can move around a bit and maybe make this better, huh?
No, you're good right now. You're perfect. How you been?
Okay, good. I have been well. I am doing excellent. What about you?
Doing good. You know, I can't complain. Life's good. I'm here on the radio talking to some of my fun fans and people out there. It's good stuff. Hey, so
good.
The state of love, you know, I'm talking here with Ann Nordhaus-Bike. She's talking a lot of folks. We're getting tons of texts coming in. And, you know, it seems like relationships are one of the hot and heavy, you know, topics on the top of people's mind right now. Why is it? Are you seeing a potential loss of love out there?
You know, relationships are very hot right now. And it's actually the season that actually produces something. You know, let me tell you. What happens is, especially this season, what do you see on commercials? You see a lot of people experiencing love in different ways. Mm-hmm. You see the glossy colored pictures of people getting rings, the ring season. You see a lot of love things related to the holidays. You see family things. So they gloss it up and make you feel that not only should this be a season of gifts, but it should be a season of romance. And so it kind of brings on another level of anxiety.
Yeah.
I
could see it. I mean, like, you could feel it in just from the mere, like I said, the mere texts that are coming in regarding relationships is prevalent. And even, you know, my friends and family that I talk to, everyone's struggling around this idea of love. And, you know, giving it some deep thought, love, is, do you think it's more because, you know, the struggle in relationships, divorce rate high, people not getting along as well they used to because of finances and responsibilities, is it more so that people aren't whole when they come into relationships versus all these external factors? Is it more of an issue of you as a human and the other human you're cohabitating with just aren't whole people when they come together?
You know, that is definitely one of the issues, is the wholeness of when they come together. I think a lot of, also, even when they come together, they have unreasonable expectations. And so because of the unreasonable expectations, they begin to demand things of people who are not whole enough to give it to them. And so that's one of the other things that you have to be conscious of. So, for instance, one of the things that you have to take into consideration when you are talking about relationships is this. First of all, the person that relationships are learned by watching relationships, usually parents or parents with their boyfriends or whatever the case may be, and also how people related to you. So relationships are learned and conditioned. Even your tolerance levels are learned and conditioned. So when you bring two people together, Frank, there is absolutely no other relationship on earth like that relationship. You bring everything from your past, every conditioning, every experience with you into that relationship, and then you merge it with someone else, and now you say, let's do it. When you try to make that into what your parents did or what somebody else did, it just doesn't work. You have to create new normals in relationships, and because of that, and because of how you were conditioned to deal with it, your coping skills that you've mastered, the tolerance levels that you have mastered, those different things, we will set out to remedy situations and remedy crisis and remedy conflict. And a lot of times what we learned was just dysfunctional.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work for long term.
So what would be your top three tips here to get back to a place if you're in a marriage or a relationship that isn't working? You know you love this person, but you can't seem to get it together. What would you suggest should be your top three things you should do immediately?
The first thing is that the top thing I tell all singles is you look at the thoughts of that person. You know, a lot of times we have our list. We say, you know, this is what I want in a man. This is what I want in a woman. But what I tell you to do is stop and see the issues that you know this person is dealing with, their faults, the arguments that you've had. And you look at square face in the eye and say, can my love cover this? If you know that this person is a serial cheater, don't go straightforward 90 miles an hour into this relationship thinking you can change that person, because you will not. They are at their most dedicated to change if they're in puppy love or new stages of love or really in love with you. If they're not going to change for you when they're dating you, marriage, they'll get 10 times worse.
Yeah. That's very, very, very true.
That would be the first one. So you be realistic about what you can stand. Now, there are people who have had they have seen relationships in their home where dad was just a cheater, you know, and mom loved him and they loved dad and he was a good provider. He was this, but he was just, you know, he was out there. So they know how to kind of handle that.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you have not had that experience, you may not be able to. There are people who have higher tolerances of domestic violence or disengaged men or disengaged women or needy women because they've seen those type of personalities in the home and they've watched how that's handled and how that's done. And so they may be able to handle some things like that. However, there's other things they can't handle. And so, you know, you have to understand that everybody is working on something. We all have issues that we are all working on. And so you're going to have to tolerate something, but you have to decide, what am I skilled to tolerate in a functional way? And what am I skilled to tolerate that I will learn even better skills? What I'm doing may not be correct. I need to learn how to do this correctly.
Interesting.
So now, those are some of the things, yeah.
Great tips, love. And we're going to have maybe a couple more minutes here before we're going to have to run, unfortunately. Last question here. When do you know it's time to throw in the towel when it comes to a relationship, whether it be married or dating?
You know, when your heart becomes so hard until it becomes abusive, when you have withdrawn so much from that person until the pain of being with that person is way too much to bear. Anytime it goes into abuse, and you notice I started with just an emotional abuse. Yeah. I didn't start with physical abuse. That's the obvious. But I went into the emotional abuse. When abuse becomes so obvious until it is zapping your self-esteem, where it is causing you to dislike yourself, where it is causing you to self-harm and disengage and isolate and take you down in a negative way, you know, what was that movie, Get Out, where you're just in the sunken place. When you are going so far and spiraling down into a sunken place that you can't get out, that's not a relationship for you. You need to, if you're not even going to get a divorce, you need to get a separation where you can come back and find yourself. If you are lost and just cannot function, you need to separate and find yourself, because you cannot be anything to anyone until you find out who you are.
Brilliant words. Love McPherson. Tiffany Love McPherson, thank you so much. How can people find you on the internet or give you a call?
They can find me at my website at lovemcpherson.com. I am Love McPherson on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, all of those places, Twitter. Just look for Love, L-O-V-E, McPherson, M-C, capital P-H-E-R-S-O-N. It's such an honor always to be on your show, Frank.
Same. I love having you on. We got to do it again soon. Have yourself a great Sunday.
You too, and enjoy the holidays.
Will do. You too. All right, we'll be right back with our Food Time segment coming up with Joey Farina from Victory Tap after this.
You're listening to The Frank Fontana Show on WGN Radio, the crossroad of life and style.
Welcome back to the show, guys. Super excited for our Food Time segment sponsored by Greek Islands Restaurant, a little carryover from Dean Richards' show. We're officially into the Frank Fontana hours here. We're usually 1 to 3 every Sunday here on WGN Radio. Joining me for Food Time this time around is Victory Tap Chicago owner, executive chef, and general managers here as well. Joey Farina and Jason Wedner, is that correct?
That is correct.
Guys, thanks for coming in.
Hey, Frank. Anything, anytime. Love it. Love being here.
Thanks, man. Joey Farina, you know the name. You tasted his food. If you haven't been to Victory, there's a couple new locations.
There is.
Where'd you open up next?
We have 434 West Ontario. That's Victory Italian. And we also have one in Elmhurst at 116 North York Road.
And then the River North one's the newest one, right?
The River North is the newest, yes.
So I was watching you on Instagram putting that thing together.
Yes.
You're a hands-on executive chef. Like, there's no doubt about it. You are in there, in the mix, getting your hands dirty.
Yeah. I like to make sure it comes out perfect.
Yeah.
So we have no problems in the beginning.
And your food, bar none, I don't care what anybody says, is some of the best Italian food.
Hey, Frank.
Thank you.
That's great. I'm glad you really think so.
I leave there stuffed like a cow every time. Happily roll out of there. And the drinks are spectacular.
Like a meatball.
Like a meatball. Exactly. Like Joey's mama's meatballs.
Exactly.
Which I saw on Instagram. You guys were making those fresh. Everything you guys do is awesome. What are some of the, you know, inspirations for your dishes? Are these old family recipes that you've brought into the modern day, or are they yours that you reinvented?
Yeah, they're a little bit of both, Frank. I like to take some of the recipes my mother used to do and put different twists on them. And, you know, even my wife's a big inspiration, and she's really got a lot of things to say about food, and and really, I listen to a lot of it, and she's right. So I kind of like take a bunch of different opinions and then form my own.
So then do you test them? Obviously, you're the first line, right?
Yeah.
And do you make those dishes first, or do you task the chefs in your kitchen to do them so you could taste them?
I do a little bit of both. You know, I ask my guys to help me create different things and my other chefs, and then I just put my own twist on it, and I change, and then, boom, then I kind of, like, feel it out. Have the customer try it. Hey, sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong, you know.
So how long do you give it until you realize maybe I'm wrong on this one?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. And how often does that happen, Joey? Honestly. No one's listening. Just tell me.
Not often.
Not often. I knew it. I knew that was going to be the answer.
You know, I'll tell you why. Because I try to create things that I know. I try to, when I do food, I try to do food that everybody likes. And everybody, you know, I don't like crazy, outlandish things that no one eats.
Like too fancy, when it gets too fancy.
Too many ingredients.
Yeah.
I like, you know, 3-4 ingredients, 5 tops. You know, just keep it simple. Keep it simple.
What would you say is your signature?
Meatballs.
Meatballs.
Yeah, yeah. Do them all kinds of different ways. Do fried meatballs, escarole and beans. Do fried meatballs with peppers.
Meatball salad.
Meatball salad. We do meatball, great, great meatball sandwich we have, believe it or not. I mean.
Melted mozzarella on the top.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm drooling right now.
Yeah, for sure.
We're going to taste some stuff after a little break here. But
yeah.
So, Joe, you've been at this how long?
30 years.
And then, Jason, you've been at the restaurant for how long?
I've been with the restaurant group for going on a year now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, things are going very well.
So you run the front of the house.
Yes, run the front of the house in the restaurant, and then with his wife, Yvonne, is there as well, running it with us.
Yeah, I've remember seeing you a bunch of times at the State Street location.
Yes.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite places. So your drinks, too, are equally as fantastic as the food. Do you spend a lot of time on the front end of that?
Yeah, we spend a lot of time and work in with the wine list, the drink list, and everything like that, putting things together, trying recipes the same way, just to make sure that it's, you know, what the guest is going to want and appreciate.
So if meatballs is your number one, what do you pair meatballs with in terms of a drink, in your opinion?
You know, really, when you're pairing with meatballs, I think you got to go with wine, because a wine and Italian food just go hand in hand.
A red or a white?
Definitely a red.
A red, yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Like Frank, with like him and Jason and my wife, like I find drinks in, you know, different magazines. I just pull them out. Let's try this. Let's try that.
Do you go out to other restaurants a lot, Joey?
Oh yeah, all the time.
And you find inspiration in some of the things you taste.
Sure.
Yeah, like if you weren't to eat at your restaurant, do you have any other favorites out there?
Sure, love Purple Pig.
Yeah,
think it's great. Go to Gibson's a lot.
Good steaks there.
Yeah. Yeah, I go to a handful of other places.
When you travel outside of Chicago.
Oh yeah, crazy. I go to New York a lot. I get a lot of inspiration there.
You can write it off as research too, which I love.
Yeah,
you're a chef.
Sometimes.
Yeah, you can try at least.
Yeah.
We're talking to Joey Perrine, executive chef of and owner of Victory Tap in Elmhurst, here on State Street on the south side, as well as a new location in River North. What's the theme in River North? Is it similar in vibe to your other restaurants?
It's identical.
Identical.
I mean, my partner, Tony, he does pretty much like all the construction and stuff. I mean, he does an unbelievable job, and he just took... Jason, you're going to get tested this. He does the wainscoting the same. He does the pictures on the wall are just wonderful. I mean, you really have to see it. When people walk in, he got these like mini chandeliers. You know, they look like, the place looks like it came out of the 50s, doesn't it, Jason?
Yeah, it looks like when you walk in, it's been there for 50, 60 years.
I totally love that vibe. It's got the nostalgia of old Chicago feel to it. It's got the somewhat industrial, somewhat vintage. You know, the one question I have, though, in the State Street location, the Captain America shield.
Victory.
Victory. Is that what that stands for?
Yeah, it's for sale, too.
Does anybody buy them? Do you get, like, replicas of it? Or is that
$1,200 bucks.
$1,200, and no one's bought one yet?
We had a couple inquiries.
Yeah. I always wondered, like, because it's like the real metal shield.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you guys took it down for my son one time.
Yeah, we did.
That's awesome. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking to Joey Farina from Victory Tap. Jason Widner's here as manager. We're going to get into how, if you want to bring the Italian style holiday recipes to your home, you know, I don't want you to give out every secret you have, Joe, unless you're okay. What's the difference, right? All right, so Joey's going to share his famous meatball recipe with us, along with a few others, and we're going to sample some of their famous pizza that is, the smell is already getting me. We're going to
get into that with you. Joey. Oh, yeah. That's great.
Yeah, all right, cool. We'll be right back. Oh, yeah. We're talking to executive chef and owner of Victory Tap. Joey Farina is in the house. He brought his general manager, Jason Wedner's here. They just brought in some food, which is awesome for the Food Time segment. The Joey's famous meatballs. Joey, what makes your meatballs so famous?
Frank, we hand roll our meatballs 3-4 times a night. I keep cooking them all night. I don't have a big pot sitting
there. You re-roll them 3-4 times? Is that a secret?
We re-roll them, and we pop them in the oven. First one goes in at 3. Next one goes in at 5. Next one at 7, next one at 9, and then we're done.
How many meatballs you go through in a night?
It all depends. Last night, probably 200, just at River North.
200 meatballs.
Yeah.
So you ever be in a situation where you run out of the fresh meatballs? Or you know by now,
no.
Approximately?
No, that's...
Never happens.
That would be terrible.
Yeah.
I cannot say we're out of meatballs.
I just had a slice of your pizza, which is unbelievable. If you haven't tried their pizza, guys, it's ridiculous. I mean, some of the best in town.
Thank you, thank you.
The meatballs I'm sampling right now, ridiculous. I'm a meatball guy. For people at home who are, you know, think they make good meatballs, there's always a debate of what they put in them, right? Now, my mom does straight meat with a little bit of Italian breadcrumbs, not a lot, a little bit of egg and some salt, pepper, you know, typical spices. My mother-in-law does completely different. She does like onion bread soaked and then puts them into the meatball. And it's like more of a giant meat bread ball.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've had every variation in between. What is your secret to these amazing meatballs?
You know, I do a meat blend 50-50, veal to beef. I don't put pork. A lot of people do. Just gives it a little different taste. And I do white bread. I do like Wonder bread.
Mm-hmm.
Crusts off, soaked in milk. I do Parm Romano blend.
Yep.
And I do...
You say soft milk? Is that what you said?
No, I soak it in the milk.
Soak it in the milk, okay.
Yeah. And then we do a lot of parsley, a lot of Italian parsley. And that's pretty much it. Parm Romano blend.
And do you fry the outside or bake it all?
We fry it.
You fry the entire...
And then we finish it in the oven, yeah. Exactly.
I think that's the
crispy outside.
Crispy outside, moist in the middle.
You know, I make them at home sometimes. My little guy, Bennett, he just like eats them right out of the pan.
Yeah. You have to. I mean, that's delicious. A rite of passage.
I taught him that, by the way.
Good, good. All right, so moving into the holiday season, a lot of people at home, you know, trying new recipes for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, a traditional Italian Christmas dinner. So Christmas Eve is typically all fish.
Sure.
Right? And
sure.
You make, by far, one of the best fish salads I've ever tasted.
Thank you. Thank you.
Not just Chicago, but New York, L.A. Talk to us about how to make a good fish salad at home.
You know, I do, in ours, we do lobster, calamari, octopus, and shrimp. And what we do is we poach each one separately. Each one has different cooking times. And you just keep checking it. If it takes 15 minutes, we need another 5. We might need another 10 here. Shrimp should be poached nice and fast so it's nice and fresh. The key to a good fish salad, and I'll serve 500 of them Christmas Eve, pans to go and all kinds of things. The key is the olive oil. You have to have good olive oil.
What do you use for your olive oil? Is there a particular brand that you recommend?
You know, I use a bunch of different ones, but the one I use for my fish salad is this Frescobaldi. It's expensive, but it's so worth it.
What's the palate of it that makes it so appealing with the fish salad?
You know,
because you know some olive oils can be very heavy. Like you taste the olive.
It's light, and you taste the flavor in it like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
it just complements the fish so well. And then we use fresh garlic. We use wooden bowls to mix it all in. Sea salt. We cut the celery to order. Black olives, we cut them to order.
It's so fresh tasting.
Yeah,
I mean, it's so fresh. You can tell it's not sitting in the back.
No, we make it everyone to order. I never make a big pot of it, big pan of it, and put it in a cooler. It's just not the same. Fresh parsley, Italian flat. Never that curly stuff for any of your dishes. The curly stuff is not even good for a garnish anymore. I mean,
yeah,
flat parsley is so beautiful. It got such a fresh flavor to it.
And so when you're sourcing all your herbs and even your meats and stuff like that,
sure.
Where I know you get probably through in the Greco.
Greco
and guys
is
like that.
Our number one purveyor that we have right now.
Yeah, and they by far some of the freshest.
By far. Eddie does a great job.
Do you get a chance to sample the herbs when they come in?
Yeah, sure, sure.
Part of your job, really.
You know, and being, you know, winter and cold, sometimes they freeze on the truck and they turn black instantly.
Yeah.
It's really hard. I mean, there's, you know, things you can't help.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, basil turns so fast. If it gets too cold, it'll freeze and then just turn black instantly.
You know, restaurant business, you always hear the saying, you know, it's one of the hardest businesses to be in. But yet people do it all the time.
Yeah.
And you've been in this business as a chef a long time.
Yeah, sure.
Went the route of ownership.
Yeah.
You know, how many years back?
It's been about 4 years, though.
4 years. How does that feel for you, going from, you know, not being necessarily... It is, right?
Yeah, you got to worry about everything.
And you've, you know, I don't want to say struck gold, but in a way, you've been pretty successful in your venture. I mean...
Well, you know, I got great people behind me. It's not just me. It's Jason. It's Tony. It's Iman. It's Rigoberto. It's, you know, a lot of people. I mean, it's just, I could never, ever, ever do it without the team I have.
Yeah. That's what makes the success of a great restaurant.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because, I mean, there's plenty of people who make good food and their restaurants fail.
Sure. Sure. I mean, you know, I never wanted to be in one of those top 20 of the year restaurants.
Yeah,
I want to have a restaurant that's an annuity.
Yeah,
I want it to be there 40 years, not four.
Right,
not the hottest restaurant for two, and then
you want to be the old go to.
Exactly,
everybody knows is solid food.
Exactly,
consistent.
Solid pizza. We do great pizza. We do Armand's Pizza.
Yeah,
you know, Mark Cicola, good friend, partner of ours. He comes in. You know, he's just got it down. The dough is perfect. The sauce, we use all fresh, great canned tomatoes, you know, and all great toppings. I mean, our sausage is made by Greco, like you said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we just try to keep it as fresh as we can every day.
Well, you guys do a bang-up job, man. Like I said, one of my personal faves. If you haven't checked out Victory Tap, go check them out. The three locations, Elmhurst, Southside on State Street in Chicago, and then the new location. What's the exact location of River North, Jason?
434. It's 434 West Ontario.
434 West Ontario. Why don't you give out the addresses for the rest of those locations as well?
Sure. 434 West Ontario is Victory Italian. 1416 South Michigan Avenue is our South Loop. And then 116 North York Street is the one in Elmhurst, Victory Meat and Seafood.
And I promise you this, if you go to any one of these in the next 2 days and you don't like what you eat, call me. And I will pass out and fall over off this mic if you tell me that you don't love everything you tasted. Right, Joe?
And I'll pay the further check.
And Joe, we will pay for your check. There you go. Guys, thank you so much for coming. Joe, thanks for bringing
thank
the delicious
you.
Food.
Thank you.
You're always a gracious host when we go there.
Thank you.
And I think you.
Happy holidays to you.
Happy
Frank.
Holidays to you and to everybody else. Appreciate you guys so much. We're going to take a quick break, do some news when we come back. We're going to be talking about this new Friends pop-up, an office pop-up deal that you can go and experience, literally the Friends experience from the TV show right here in Chicago. Welcome back to the Friends special here on the Frank Fontana Show. Everybody knows that iconic song, the hit show Friends. God, probably one of the most famous shows in TV history. Well, now you can get a flavor of it right here in Chicago. Mark Kwiatkowski, right? Is that somewhat correct?
Yes, that's perfect.
Wow, that's good. Is the owner of the Friends and the Office pop-up. Mark, what is this whole pop-up business I've been reading and hearing about all my friends talk about?
It's just a lot of fun, what it is. We love doing these pop-ups and keeping our arcade bar, Replay Linkin Park, kind of fresh and exciting for, you know, all the fans that appreciate nostalgia. So obviously, video games are nostalgic. The games that we have are all from the 80s and 90s. And then we kind of match that up with just awesome inspired pop-ups, usually by television shows and just pop culture.
So it happens inside the bar,
yes.
Right? And uh-huh. Where's the bar located?
2833 North Sheffield. So just north of Diversey on the border of Lakeview and Linkin Park.
And how much of the environment do you transform?
So typically, we've got a large space, 9,000 square feet, 65 vintage arcade games and pinball machines. And then we take our back room, typically, dedicate that to a very immersive pop-up experience. So 3,000 square feet or so.
That's a huge venue.
Yeah, it's a large, large venue. I've been there for 20 years and running our arcade bar there since 2012.
What made you get into the bar business? Like the restaurant business, another tough one, but a fun one.
Yeah, so I bartended in college and then after college part-time and realized that I wanted to work for myself 20-some years ago and thought, well, I could do this. I know the bar business, you know, reasonably well. I was just really a bartender, not in any management role or anything, but I thought, I think I could do this. And did my first bar in 1994 in Lakeview and never turned back.
It's, I mean, I used to be in the bar business too in South Florida. I thought it was pretty awesome. You know, I always dreamed myself for myself to open a bar one day, you know, and live the life you're living right now, Mark.
It's not all glorious. It's tough. The hardest part, honestly, is, you know, raising a family and doing that. But
how is that? Let's talk about that for a second. How are you navigating that those two worlds?
Well, now it's become easier because my kids are 15 and 13. So, you know.
But how about when they were 4 and 5?
Yeah, know? It was challenging. I mean, my wife was a real trooper in that regard, having to deal with my strange hours and whatnot. But, you know, as you get older and you hire good managers and a good team, you don't keep those long hours necessarily unless you want to. I mean, sometimes I, like last night, I happened to be at the Office Christmas pop-up until probably later than I should have been, but you know, I still woke up earlier than my kids. So, you know, now they're teenagers, they like to sleep in on weekends. So
everyone has their whys as to why they do what they do. What's your why that you stay in the business so long and been successful at it?
Well, I mean, honestly, I don't know what I would do it any differently now. I just can't imagine, you know. My mom bugs me all the time and said, why don't you, you know, your friends, you guys all went to college and your friends are doing this or that. You know, why don't you get a real job or whatever? I'm like, Mom, it's too late. I'm not going to start over.
Yeah.
And, you know, it provided me a good life.
I was going to say, it's had to be successful enough for you to continue to do it for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it has its ups and downs, certainly. I've had plenty of places that I had to shutter and reconcept or whatnot, but all in all, it's been an upward trajectory.
How is the state of the... Because when I moved here from L.A., one thing I noticed was there's a bar on every corner. Everyone loves to drink their beer in Chicago. And it just seemed like that business would be a great business to be in Chicago.
I mean, it has been a great business, but honestly, there are fewer bars now in Chicago than there were when I started even. And I remember Mayor Daley, when he was in office, made it kind of his objective to shut down, especially corner bars. He was kind of famous for saying that he didn't want, you know, dads in the corner bar. He wanted them at home, you know, engaging with the kids and the family. So he was...
Ironically, coming from a guy who grew up on the south side of Chicago in a neighborhood that has a bar in every corner.
Sure, exactly. And his dad, his father, the original Mayor Daley, was, I think, a proponent of bars and you know, supported it. But Mayor Richard J. Daley, or I forget, Richard J. Daley is the son, I believe. I forget already.
Yeah.
He, you know, had a different vision, I guess.
Well, you've done well because you've been in the business for how long now? 20-something years?
25 years.
And is this the longest-running venue for you?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, so it's changed names. I opened it up, bought a pool hall, turned it into a nightclub, and then ran a live music venue there, and then saw the opportunity for this arcade bar concept out of New York. Was the barcade in Brooklyn was kind of the pioneer, and I'd heard about it, went and visited, and I said, oh my gosh, Chicago needs this. So that was 2012.
And so you did your first pop-up, which is it the Friends pop-up is your first idea?
No. The first one was a year ago, October, so 14 months ago, we did The Simpsons, Moe's Tavern.
I love it.
Yeah, that was a lot
Duff
of fun.
Duff beer, did you?
Yeah, we had Duff beer koozies, so
yeah.
you could Duff any beer for $2. So
talk to me about how you transformed to Moe's Tavern from that. Like what goes into the decor and all the changes?
So I've got, you know, a great team, group of artists. One of my bartenders is a great artist, and he kind of leads the team. We call them the pop-up squad. So we engage them to do a lot of hand-painted items and various awesome details, and then engaged a local large print shop, Speed Pro Chicago, in the West Loop. They printed a lot of like vinyl applications. So we printed the whole back bar, for example, of Moe's Tavern and put that behind our bar. And then we printed a large Moe's Tavern kind of landscape on one of the walls. And then they create all our custom-made cutouts. Like people love taking pictures for that one. We had a giant Moe. And people move Moe around and take pictures with him.
So you didn't make your bartender dress like Moe?
I mean, Moe's a crotchety old guy, right? So
I love it.
Our bartenders are too young.
That's classic.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And then, because I would think the next level to that is like character actors. You know, you start bringing in character actors.
Well, we had, what do they call him? Duff Man. So we hired a guy. He reached out to me and said, hey, I do a great cosplay Duff Man. I'm like, okay, let's see. He sent me some pictures and he was spot on. So we brought him in for a few appearances and he just walked around handing out Duff beers to people and taking pictures. It was awesome.
That's awesome. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about your two newest ones, which is your Friends and Office pop-up. Love to hear how you pimped out the place for that one.
Awesome.
It'll be fun. We'll be right back. Welcome to the Frank Fontana Show. Talking about pop-up ideas for bars, restaurants. Mark Kwiatkowski, right? Is there?
Kwiatkowski,
close enough. Owner of the
Replay Lincoln Park Arcade Bar.
Yes, and they do this pretty fun event, guys, that you might have been to their Simpsons theme. You might have been to their Friends theme. But now you can experience the music you just heard. The Office is their latest pop-up idea. But before we get into The Office, I'm dying to know how you transformed your space into the Friends environment. Did you do the cup of, what is it, the what was their coffee shop they went to?
Central Perk.
Did you do that idea for it?
The Lincoln Perk.
I like it.
So we created a bunch of vignettes within the space. So we had the centerpiece, the bar was Central Perk.
Yeah.
Because that's where you get your drinks. So we had a bunch of, or several coffee-based drinks, cocktails. And then adjacent to that, we had Joey and Chandler's apartment with some Lazy Boy recliners and, you know, some of the iconic elements, the foosball table and some of the other elements from Joey and Chandler's apartment. And then we had a great photo op with all the character cutouts, the iconic orangish couch that is in Central Perk, but in the opening scene is set in front of a fountain. So we printed a giant fountain and then put the couch in front of it with umbrellas and the character cutouts, and people really went nuts. Literally were waiting in line for a half hour at a time to get their opportunity to take pictures and obviously post them on social media. It was great.
It's great for you. Yeah.
Yeah. It was awesome. And then we created the Monica and Rachel's apartment as well in the other section of the bar. So it was, you know, people loved it.
People absolutely love it. And then that whole, like you said, the nostalgia of being able to kind of be in that environment of one of their favorite television shows. You're brilliant in the sense that this takes the, you know, the idea that, you know, social media is everything today, especially if you own a brand and a business like you do in the hospitality industry.
Yep.
To be able to have it virally go out and it's stemming from your business is amazing. I think it's very smart. And it's bringing in revenue for you. It's bringing in new faces, you know, maybe some fans of the show that may have not been to the bar before.
Absolutely.
Has that been the case? You get
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's crazy when we have, you know, a successful pop-up, the party business starts booking up. People realize, wait, I didn't know this place existed. I can have 20 or 30 of my friends here for, you know, my husband's 30th birthday party or whatever. And they, I know the guys enjoy the game. So it just brings a lot of awareness to what we do. And we're just great for parties for that reason. People, you know, I think that's one of the reasons that I even opened up the arcade bar, knowing that parties were a big part of it. Because, you know, there are certain people that are kind of wallflowers and they're forced to now engage. Maybe you don't dance, but everyone can, you know, walk up to a girl and say, hey, let me challenge you at Pac-Man.
Yeah, for sure. So you're making love connections over some video games.
Sure, actually. We have a lot of first dates. It's amazing. You can always, bartenders are awesome at spotting first, you know, first dates. It's just, I mean, anybody, you can just see it. They're like, it's like they're interviewing each other.
It's fascinating. Before I was ever in media, I used to sling drinks too back in the day, early on. It's always a different perspective when you're not the one consuming alcohol, but serving alcohol and seeing how things kind of ensue and unfold in front of you like a big theater play. It, to me, was always the best part of that, especially when it hits like the part where two or three drinks start to get consumed and things start to change.
Sure.
You see personalities change and things get fun or not.
Yeah, sometimes you see the ugly side of people too.
Yeah, exactly. So your latest pop-up is The Office, the iconic television show that I don't know who doesn't love it, Steve Carell and that whole thing. What's that like? What's the environment? That's the current one that's happening right now, right?
Yeah, so we did it in August originally, and it was such a success. And it's one of my favorite shows of all time, the British version as well. And we decided we have to bring it back for Christmas. There's so much great content around the Christmas episodes from The Office. So we said, what better way to celebrate Christmas than do, you know, a Christmas-themed... To imagine a Christmas party at Dunder Mifflin. That's what we've done. So we created, you know, a set like Dunder Mifflin and then, you know, decked it out like the show does for Christmas.
And do you guys sit around to decide what decor goes into this? Do you sit around and like watch old episodes, drink some beers or some drinks and say, hey, that's a good idea. We should take that one and put it in here.
Oh, that's absolutely.
What research goes into your design?
Especially for The Office. My wife laughs at me because I say, I got to go to work or do some work. And I go downstairs and binge watch a bunch of Office episodes, which it's not like working. I love it. It's a great show. So I love rewatching them. And then, yeah, we take notes. I take notes. The artists take notes. And we got to do that. We have to do this. This is
so you can really take on like bring in stage designers and the set designer kind of people or artists.
Artists.
Yeah.
One of my, like I said earlier, one of my lead bartenders is a great artist and the lead artist that puts together the team and we execute. So it's honestly a whole lot of fun.
Do you play episodes while it's, you know, in that room?
Yeah. So one of my managers is really good with video. So he does what he calls super cuts and splices together a bunch of iconic elements from the shows. Right now it's all Christmas themed. So, you know, one of the best ones is the episode that Dwight and Jim get into a snowball battle.
I recall that one.
And you know, he's created just this great, like the end scene of that episode is Jim and Pam walking out to the car in the parking lot, and there are a dozen ominous looking snowmen, because earlier in the episode Dwight is in a snowman and surprises Jim and bombards him with snowballs. And so this end episode, Jim's just paranoid, thinking that Dwight's going to pop out of one of these snowmen. Meanwhile, Dwight's on top of the building, just observing and creepily laughing at Jim's fear. So we have that, obviously, in one of the clips. And I was watching it last night, just grinning, thinking like, wow, that's
so good. The writing on that show was so good.
Brilliant show.
So, similarly to the Friends one, do you have the stand-up cutouts for the characters that they could take photos with?
Yeah, this one we have more than ever. Speed Pro in Westloop just did a great job for us, and we have you know, several iterations of Dwight, for example. Dwight as Belschnickel, Dwight as the elf, Dwight as himself. We have Packer with the, what do you call it, the mistletoe hanging from his crotch, basically. and then we have, you know, Michael as classy Santa, Santa Bond, I guess he calls himself at one point. Then we have Mike as regular Santa. We have Phyllis as Santa, on and on and on. We must have 20 character cutouts right now.
Which pop-up version or theme for you has been the most successful so far?
I mean, it's close. So The Office in August was amazing. We did Rick and Morty a year ago in February. That was a huge success. For St. Patrick's Day, we did It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Love that show.
Did Patty's Pub. That was a huge success. Moe's Tavern a year ago, our first one. That was great.
So about a year you've been doing this pop-up idea.
Yeah, it's our 14th month now.
Do you see this being a regular thing at the arcade?
I mean, I'm going to, you know, continue it. People love it. I love it. It's just a lot of fun. Maybe we're going to run out of ideas. I don't know. Bring some back occasionally. People are already, you know, that miss the Friends one are like, are you bringing it back? I said, well, it's always possible. But, you know, right now we're going to, you know, stick with new ideas. We get our ears bent, you know, every night, every day.
You want to give any spoiler alerts of what may be coming in the future?
No, I don't actually, because I swear the last time I alluded to a pop-up, someone beat me to the punch.
Some other bar did.
Yeah. So I'm afraid the one that we have in mind that we're going to do is going to be the most ambitious one yet. You know, it's a show that's going to be ending soon. I'm sure people will figure it out, but it'll be our most ambitious one yet.
Well, we'll look forward to it. Where can people find the arcade?
2833 North Sheffield, so just north of Diversey on Sheffield, at the border of Lakeview and Lincoln Park in Chicago.
You guys got a website, social media?
Of course, we Facebook at Replay Lincoln Park, website www.replaylincolnpark.com.
Go check it out, folks. Mark, thanks so much, buddy. That does it for us here on the Frank Fontana Show. Join us every week 1 to 3. Today